If anybody needs them, I don't need them on my notes this morning to keep them from blowing off of the podium. So I said maybe I will save them until next year. Maybe we'll spend a season in the summertime outdoors next year as well. So I think that would be, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. When I grew up, and I just learned from, I just had some x-rays, and this is not on my notes, but I just had some x-rays this week because I've been having some shoulder issues and some breathing issues, some chest issues. And so they finally said, hey, you need to go get some x-rays of your neck. You need to go get some x-rays of your shoulder, of your clavicle, of all that other medical areas that I don't understand. They just said, go and stand in front of this, and they'll shoot x-rays of you. And so I did. And it all come back. My neck is fine, and my clavicle seems to be fine, and but they said there's an injury, a past injury that has healed. You've broken your shoulder at some point in life. And well, I didn't even know I broke it. I'm sure I knew I broke it when I broke it, but it was never diagnosed. I just kind of lived with it apparently, and somehow now it's like calcified over. So I don't know. It's got some arthritis. So maybe that's some of the issue. I didn't think I would live this long to 55, so but I did, and my body is kind of paying for all the experience or all the Cheryl would call it not thinking clear through to the end action. So that's the what I've been experiencing in my life. I just kind of go and maybe now not so much at 55, but when I was younger, it was just like, I wonder if this bike can do this. You know, you just jump the bike and it can't do it. You learned that. You didn't read it. You experienced it. Well, growing up in a very rural area, in a semi non-affluent area, you had all kinds of fun and kind of discoveries without going to places where you had to pay. I mean, that just wasn't, you didn't go to pay. I can remember the first time that I realized that you could buy pizza. I was like, wow, you can buy pizza? I mean, there's places that sell pizza? I mean, it was just this new phenomenon to me. And I can remember that moment. So, but running around the community, so to speak, running around the environment in which I was raised, the farm ponds were a big part of that. Most farms had ponds of some sort. And I think some of it was, the one on our farm was one that we gravity flowed the water to the cows, so it was necessary. And I think it was a fire thing too, I think, and just maybe the draining the wetlands. I don't know what was going on, but there was a lot of farm ponds in our area. And if you would navigate around, you would see, and we would say, I'm going to Chuck's Pond. We knew where that was. It's just the group of us, my brother, the group of us knew where Chuck's Pond was. So we would meet at Chuck's Pond, or we would meet at Charlie Treat's Pond, which was noted for turtles. It was just this, what you were going to hunt or what you were going to fish for or whatever, what you were going to do, the pond you went to. The Beaver Dam was a great place to go. And then you would have the Doan's Pond, and they had two ponds on their farm. So the Doan's, you know, one and two, where are you going to go? Are you going to go behind Gordon's house, or are you going to go across from Gail's house? That's the way it was. We just knew these locations. And you can't, I don't know if you can see that real well. But here, number one is the larger pond. Number two is the smaller pond. That was the one across from Gail's place. This was in the back of Gordon's place. Gordon was the dad. Gail was the son. Gail's a friend of mine. He lives in Montana now. And I just had this flashback with this yellow arrow. I just had to include it. That's where Cheryl shot her first 8-point buck. So I just, you know, that's just, I just wanted to include that in the, you know, I was just like, boom! And I was on Google Earth, and I was looking up those ponds. I said, I remember that. Cheryl shot that buck down there. And she made a great shot on him, and he made it all the way to the bottom of the swamp before he died, and I had to get him out. So it was this very memorable moment of this decent 8-point that Cheryl shot there on that arrow. But the number one, that's a squirrel. Okay, that's the squirrel. But this is the number one and number two. Number one pond. When you'd go to a pond, when you'd go to a farm pond, it was a place of discovery. It was just really was. It was, yeah, I mean, it was better than the Nature Channel. It just was a place of discovery. Have you just ever sat and just listened to a pond? Just listen to what's going on around the pond, and just listen to what's happening, all the noises, all the every year watch a polywog in the transformation into a frog. I mean, I'm not talking Google it. I'm talking watching it. I'm talking about seeing it happen. I'm talking about being back here this day and then the next day and seeing this polywogs transform into growing legs and having the tail at the same time. You know, we're talking some kind of prehistoric creature. I mean, if them babies were like this big, you'd be scared of them. I mean, it's just this weird thing happening to these polywogs, and they were being transformed into frogs. It was just a phenomenon to watch and discover the turtles and the fish and the plants and the insects and the dragonflies. I mean, they were just entertaining out of themselves. Just the dragonflies and the amount of dragonflies and the different varieties of dragonflies. The birds that would be there, the birds that would come down and dive bomb the pond and pick something off or get a drink of water. I don't know what they were doing, but this is like the F-15s. Boom, 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 boom. And they were just in there and out of there before you could almost say boo. I mean, it was just a real interesting moment just to learn from the farm pond and the footprints you'd go around. And when I was growing up, I was a big footprint guy. I wanted to know what had been there. And so I would look at all the mud holes, and I would look at all the mud edges, and I would find the footprints of what had been there, and I would discover what footprint. And when I was growing up, you had to open up a book to see what that footprint was, and I had a footprint book. And I could identify the footprints of maybe a possum or a skunk or maybe a deer or maybe a raccoon or something that had been there to that pond during the night or some other time getting a drink or eating fish or whatever they were doing. And then you'd go to a pond and sometimes it was just a place to have fun. You would just say, hey, I'm going to the Dones behind Gordon's. I'm going to the pond because we're going to fish. Because we're just gonna have fishing. We're just bring your fishing pole. We don't really care if there's bugs. We don't really care what the noises are. We don't care if they're turtles. We're gonna whip that water to a froth, you know, with some hooks and lures. You know, we're just gonna go at it. And I'm telling you what, there are some times when we caught some 3, 4, 5 pound largemouth out of farm ponds. It's a great place to fish and just some fun. And sometimes you would go swimming. And I know maybe some people don't like to swim in places they can't see the bottom. But you can't see the bottom in a pond. And you're just kind of going along, and all of a sudden you kind of get in the mud a little bit. And you say, what is that slime underneath your feet? You can't see it. And something bumps into you. You know, you kind of get used to those types of things. And all of a sudden you'd run into a spring that was feeding the pond. It was cold. It was a lot colder than the rest of the pond. Yeah, you know, it was fun to learn and discover and to have fun at these ponds. And then in the wintertime, you still went there. You played hockey or you ice skated or you rode downhill and landed up on the pond. That was always a good place because you could really, you could slide when you went into the farm pond. You could just cut it sideways and you slide all the way across the ice. One of the things we would do at the time again would be skipping stones. And I don't know, it's just one of those things that it got to be into this big competition to skip a stone. And how far could you skip a stone? And how many skips could you get in that stone? And so you're becoming this like a PhD degree in stone choice. You know, this choosing this right stone because it had to be just the right thickness and round, and your finger had to fit on it just right, and you had to be at the right angle, and you had to be at the right velocity, and you could skip that stone, and then my brother would get more skips than me, and I said, yeah, well, watch this, you know, and we'd always try to outdo each other on skips. Well, it got to the point, and most ponds were somewhere between maybe 100 and 150 feet by 300 feet, maybe. They weren't huge. They weren't lakes. You could see all the way across easily. Well, then it goes, okay, I wonder if you could skip the stone clear across the water. I'm getting to the message. Hang on there. I'm kind of rabbit trailing here. But I'm getting to the skipping the stone. See if you can go all the way across and land it on the embankment on the other side. And so we got to doing that. And then you would start out with a narrow part of the pond and you could do it. Then you would challenge yourself to move to the next and move to the next and move to the next. It's amazing. I watched my brother one time skip a stone clear across the long ways of the pond and land it on the embankment on the other side. I mean, it's just the skip. The skip only touched a little bit of what was there. Just skip and skip and skip and skip. Just the rock or the stone only knew just little skips of what the water was like. Maybe only 5 or 10 or 15 things that the stone would touch. The stone would touch as it skipped across the water. I want to bring us to a pond's edge this morning. And maybe it's a pond where we're going to have some fun. Maybe it's a pond that's where we're going to have some discovery there. But I want to bring us to the pond's edge, not one located in Tioga County, but a pond that we have visited before. And it's located in the Word of God. The Word of God is full of ponds. And the pond I want to kind of come up to the edge of this morning is 2 Corinthians. It's named, it's like Dones, back of Gordon's, or Chuck's, or the Beaver Dam. It's just 2 Corinthians. But it's a pond inside of this environment that's called the Word of God. And it's there for discovery and even fun to come up alongside of that pond and see what's there. And we could spend hours just listening. And maybe we'll do that at sometimes. And maybe we could spend, we want to jump in and we want to swim around. Maybe we'll do that sometime. But this morning, I just want to practice the art of skipping this morning. And I just want to, skip across this pond this morning, just pulling out some of the very unique things in this passage. And I've entitled this message, Stirring My Soul. I would really like to write a worship song with that title, and this passage is the background. Stirring My Soul. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to stir our souls this morning. I want to stir our souls with the skips across this pond named 2 Corinthians. And we're going to walk up to the edge of the pond at chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 3, go find the edge. You got to find the edge where it is. You got to find the right edge of the pond. And so here we are, 2 Corinthians, we stepped into the Word of God. We stepped into this environment. And now we stepped up to the pond named 2 Corinthians. And now we're going to the edge of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to practice the art of skipping this morning. We're going to focus in on 3 or 4 things that just really will stir my soul. Hitting some stirring my soul areas in this passage of Scripture. It's powerful. Obviously, it's the Word of God. Every time I say, this is powerful, and God says, obviously, it's my Word. I just hear that in the back of my head. Man, this is awesome. And I hear, obviously, it's my Word. This is life-altering. Obviously, it's my Word. Do you think I just breathe out fairy tales? I'm breathing out life-altering stuff. I'm breathing out stuff that'll stir your soul and lift you up and breathe into you. I tell you, after a few months, since February, I've been having some breathing issues. After a few months, when you can't breathe right, I said, it seems like every song we sing, or a song we sing every single week, has something about breath in it. And I'm thinking, God, you got to give me some. You know, when you start thinking about every breath I breathe in you. I want to stir our souls this morning. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I had to go to school again to learn how to make a PowerPoint because I kind of forgot in the last 30 weeks. Here we go. Just so you know, we painted the room while you were gone. All right, there was no we involved in that, okay? There was other people painted this room. Just so you know, it looks a lot better on the back wall now. I can see it. It was like 3 different colors back here, and I couldn't see what I'm looking at back here. I can see that. Thank you for those that painted it and those who donated to that. Are we beginning to condemn ourselves? Paul's talking to the church of Corinth. Or do we need some people, letters of recommendation to you? What? We brought the gospel to you, he says. We brought the gospel to you. Our ministry that we navigated halfway around the world at this time, we brought the gospel to you. You are the church. Corinthians, you are the church. You have trusted Christ. You have come into a relationship with Christ. And now you're saying, are we beginning to condemn ourselves again? What? We did that. We told you who we are. We got to do that over and over and over again. Now, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letters written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Something's happened in your life. Why are you worried about this qualification from the apostles that are coming to you? Do I need a letter? I came to you and brought the gospel to you. And look what he says. You yourselves are our letter written on your heart. On our hearts, known and read by everybody. Verse 2 says this. You show yourself, you show that you are a letter from Christ. Let me stir your soul with some. Let me just go one skip this morning. One skip, push the button. One skip, here we go. You are a letter from Christ. He said, you are a letter from Christ. Now just let that sink into your soul and just think, God wrote, you are the letter. When I think of a letter, I think, man, it's a letter has a purpose. A letter has a writer. A letter has a recipient. A letter has a reason that's being sent. A letter is handwritten, is written by the Holy Spirit. He said, no, wait a minute, I want to stir your soul this morning. You are a letter of Christ. Wait a minute. You are a letter of Christ. I don't know what this world's told you who you are, but you are a communication from God. You are a communication from God, purposely written by the Holy Spirit on your hearts, on your life, so that God can send you wherever he wants to send you. And when he sends you there, you are the letter of Christ. You're not just any Joe Schmo. You are a letter of Christ. And I don't know about you, but that really stirred my soul this week. And as I was navigating through some of this morning, I said, God, that really stirred my soul. And he said, that's a great title. Let me stir your soul some more. You are a letter from Christ. Purposely written by God. Mailed to recipients. Maybe you're going to end up at Walmart, but you're a letter from Christ. Maybe on the way home, you're going to stop at Sheetz, and you are a letter of Christ. Maybe you're going to go back to home and you're just kind of got to engage and with your family again. Just know you are a letter from Christ. You are Christ's letter. You have a reason that he has written you and he is sending you other places that need a message from Christ. I know this is not maybe not the main thought of this passage, but when I was thinking about that, I said, wow, that is powerful. That I'm not just Ed. I am a letter from Christ. And I have a purpose, and I've been written for a reason. And I'm being sent. And I'm being sent into places that need a letter from Christ. Skip one. You are a letter from Christ. Look what he says in verse 3 again. You show that you are letters from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the human heart. I didn't write it on stone. It's not something that you carry around. It's not something you forget. It's not your cell phone that you can forget. It's not your medicine that you can forget. In our house, it's your bucket. Tracy's been a diabetic since she was 7. We had a fishing bucket with all her goods in it, and we had to give her insulin and do all the stuff you have to do with a type 1 diabetic. We'd get halfway down the road somewhere and we'd say, do you have your bucket? No. We'd turn around, we'd go back and get the bucket. We'd go back and get it. He said, that's not something, I didn't write something you can leave on the table. I didn't write something you can leave in the car. I wrote it in a place of your soul. I wrote it on your heart. So that when you go, it goes with you. You are the letter of Christ. Look what he says in verse 5, 4 and 5. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything of ourselves, but our competency comes from God. Continuing verse 6, he is the one who has enabled, reading from the New Living Translation, he is the one who has enabled us to represent his new covenant. Now, I just tell you what, I had to pull over on the side there for a minute. As I read that passage of Scripture, I am a letter of Christ, I got that. I'm still mulling through that, I'm still processing that in my soul and in my life, and I would challenge you to do that as well. I've been at it for several days and a week or so, trying to understand what that means. But now he says this, he, God, is the one who has enabled us to represent his new covenant. Woo! I'll tell you what, that's a big skip. That's a mighty, mighty, mighty skip off the water. That's a part I want to touch on. It says in Luke 2, 22, 20, it says, in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which has been poured out for you, been poured out for you. That's the new covenant. You know what the new covenant is? It's the cross. It's the message of the cross. It's the message of Jesus dying on the cross. It's the message of Jesus carrying the sins of the world. It's the cross. So you don't want to know what skip number two is? Push the button, please. Here we go. Skip number two is this. You are enabled to represent the cross. Just let that sink into your soul for a minute. Let me stir your soul with that. What right do I have to represent? He gave you the right. You can represent. You represent the cross. He's enabled you. He's empowered you to represent the cross. The Spirit has done a work in you. You are equipped with adequate power. That's what that word enable means. You are equipped with adequate power to carry that task. You are representing the cross. You have the ability and the enablement to represent the cross. Now, it's the most powerful thing that you can represent in this world. No, you can represent something and you can get a hat from somebody, you can get a t-shirt from somebody, and you can represent that business, or you can represent the government, you can be an ambassador, you can do all these things. And God says, I'm gonna give you the highest clearance possible. I'm gonna give you the highest clearance. You got a level 5 clearance. You are my letter, and I've given you the ability to represent the cross. The power to be the witness. You have been given clearance at the highest level. Look what he says in John 15, 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Statement by Jesus to you. I've given you the highest clearance, and everything that the Father gives me, I give it to you. Everything the Father gives to me, I give to you. You are the letter of Christ, and you have been enabled to represent the cross. That's more than my soul can almost fathom. Now look what he says in verses 7 and 8. Now if the ministry that brought death, he's talking about the new covenant with the law. He's comparing the new covenant or the work of the cross with the Old Testament law. That's what he's doing now in the next few verses. He's comparing those two. Look what he says. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, the Ten Commandments, okay, we got that, came with glory so that the Israelites could not steadily look at the face of Moses because of its glory. Fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be much more glorious? You see what he's saying there? Now, Moses went and got the Ten Commandments, which wasn't written on Moses. It was written on stone. He brought a letter from God. He wasn't a letter from God. He brought a letter from God. And while God was writing that on stone, Moses began to glow. And when he come off the mountain, he was glowing. Now, his glow subsided, apparently. He said, but that wasn't written. That was written on stone, carried by Moses. I'm talking about stuff that's written on your soul, on your heart, not on something you can leave behind or not on something that gets heavy for you. I'm talking about this letter that's written on you, that you are the letter. You are the stone, so to speak. You are the communication from God. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? And you know I like exclamation points, because I think that's God saying, "Whoa! Did you get that?" For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison to the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of the one that will last? Woo! Did you get that? Exclamation point. You think, this is what he's saying, I think this is the, you think Moses and God on the mountain was amazing? Hang on! That was just the tip of the iceberg! If the law was a candle, this is my translation, if the law was a candle, the new covenant, the message of the cross, is a roaring inferno. That's what he's saying. If the Ten Commandments were a candle, the cross is a roaring inferno. The cross is a bonfire. And he said, if that brought glory, can you imagine what this is going to do? If this written on stone brought glory, can you imagine what it's like to be written on the human heart and on flesh, written by the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine what that's going to do? You are a letter of Christ. Am I making sense today? You are a letter of Christ. You have been qualified to carry the message of the cross. You've been certified. Skip number 3. The cross you represent is an unquenchable fire. Okay, you're not carrying around, you know, you're not carrying around, Crocodile Dundee would say, that you call that a knife? He said, you're not carrying around a little pen knife. You're carrying around something that's unquenchable. I have certified you to carry around something that's unquenchable. I didn't call you to carry your candle. We're going to change this song. Carry your candle, run to the darkness. Carry your bonfire. How about that? Enough with the candles. All right? We're done. Carry your 5 million lumen candle power. All right? Carry that to the world. Enough with the candles. God just said, I got more than a candle. I got a roaring inferno for you. And the cross that you represent is that unquenchable fire. It'll burn away. It'll, listen, new lifers, it'll burn away sin. It'll burn away separation from God. It'll burn away failures. It'll burn away garbage. It'll burn away fears. It'll burn away lostness and loneliness. It'll burn it away. You carry something that'll burn away the separation between man and God. It's yours. You have been given the ability to represent the power that will carry into this world, that'll burn away the sins of mankind and let them stand holy before God. Ooh. He's done that for you and me. You are a letter of Christ. This is a great pond. And I know we could spend hours and days just discovering everything in here. That's why I want to do the skips today. Just the skips across. The cross you represent is the unquenchable fire. Look what he says in 12. Therefore, that's a great place for a therefore. It just is. He's, wake up! That's the therefore in the Bible. I don't think you heard me! I just certified you to carry the unquenchable fire! Exclamation point! Therefore, I was thinking about Scrooge when he's got his transformation. Therefore, I'm going to raise your salary! You know, I love that quote. Cheryl loves that movie. Watch it about 85,000 times at Christmas time. That's definitely a squirrel. Therefore, since we have such hope, you've got to be kidding me, since you have such a basket of power, because you have such a powerful thing, the new covenant, written on you, the message of the cross. Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. No doubt. You remember the kids' song? Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. I'm telling you what, you ain't hiding any bonfire under no bushel basket. See, the problem is we got candles that you can hide. Get rid of the candles. Get your basket on that bonfire. It becomes part of the fuel. Therefore, he says, we are bold. Because we got the answer. You got the answer to life's problems. His name is Jesus and his work on the cross. And you get to carry it. You've been qualified to carry it. Therefore, the boldness, I mean, we live without concealment. I'm not hiding. Am I going to be a jerk for Jesus? No. Am I going to shut up? No. We live without concealment. Look what he says in 13. Just let me just gaze at the pond for a minute. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face because the people couldn't stand to look at the glory of God. So he veiled his face. Why didn't the people say, God, give us eyes to see the glory, rather than give Moses a veil to cover his face? Wouldn't that have been cool? But I'm telling us right now, the world wants to veil your face. The world wants to veil your soul. The world wants to put a veil on you because they can't stand looking at God. But you got to tell them, God loves you. And God will do it in your life. And I shared many times when the guy that was very instrumental in leading me to the Lord, I said, I just can't. He said, what's the matter with you? And I said, I don't know. I just can't do this. I can't do it. I can't do this. And he just simply said, you're right. But let me tell you about someone who can. His name is Jesus. He didn't care what the this was. He didn't care what the it was. It didn't matter. The it, the this, that I couldn't do, it didn't matter because it succumbed to the unquenchable fire of the cross. You get to carry that. I get to carry that. It's powerful. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ can it be taken away. He can burn the veil. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is spirit, verse 17. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, I want to make a sideline here. Freedom does not mean free for all. Okay? He's not telling you, well, I can do anything I want now. I'm in Jesus. It's not talking about a free for all. It's talking about freedom. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I just through this passage, I find out that I am the temple of the Most High God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the freedom from bondage and sin, freedom from fear and the world and chaos and religious legalism. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where you go, the Spirit goes. And where the Spirit goes, there is freedom. And where you go, there is freedom. Ooh. Do I get that? That when I walk into any environment as a letter of Christ, as one who has been given the qualification to carry the message of the cross, who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, that when I go, freedom goes with me? See, I'm learning about this too. I'm learning about this, the apostolic anointing. I'm learning about that stuff. That when you go into an environment, the Spirit goes in and the Spirit brings freedom. That means you bring freedom through the Spirit in the environment. Now, if you can understand that, please call me later. I got like 10 minutes. You can explain it to me. But I think it's something we really need to think about. Because he doesn't make that statement just in a random statement in the middle of nothing. He makes that statement as he's talking about you and me. And he says, when you go into an environment, there's freedom in that environment. When you come to the environment, when you come to the environment, you go to where there's freedom. When you come to New Life, you go where there is freedom. When you go to Jacob's Way, you go where there is freedom. It's different there than it is in a halfway house. If you don't believe me, ask Robert. Because the Spirit of the Lord is there, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There isn't more darkness. Let's go, New Life. Woo! I do miss the echo off the mountain across this road. Here's the skip. Push the button, please. Freedom is in you and flows through you. You have freedom, and freedom flows through you as well. We'll talk more about that in another juncture. That's just one of the skips today. That's a powerful statement. I want to unpack that some more at a different time. We're going to have to get our boat and run out to where that skip was. We're going to have to look down. That's probably a spring down there that's bubbling up cool water. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. 18. Just so you know, this is the last one. This one has two. It's the last verse. And we who with unveiled faces, because we're living in the therefore, you ain't got no veil on your face. You got no hiding under a bushel stuff because your bushel basket is fuel for the bonfire. And where you go and where the church is, there is freedom because the Spirit is there. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Skip. Here we go. Push the button. Skip. You are reflecting the Lord's glory. Wow. Some joker from Tioga County. I'm reflecting the Lord's glory. Just like someone would look into a mirror. That's what the term is. You're going to reflect the Lord's glory. And somebody looks in to you, they're going to get to see Jesus. That's what it's saying. When they do this selfie with you, click. Hey, that's Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what he says. I'm not making it up. It's one of the things at the pond. You are reflecting the Lord's glory. Like a mirror, His glory, His presence, you're reflecting the very presence, not just the omnipresence, but the very presence of God. His brightness, His grace, His love, His power. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Just so you know, here's another skip. Push the button. You are being transformed into the likeness of and with ever-increasing glory. Hang on. You're being transformed even as you sit here right now. God is doing that right now. He's transforming you right now. He's adding stuff. He's taking stuff away. He's melding stuff away with the unquenchable fire of the cross. He's forging things. He's reforming your soul. He's giving you love like you've never had it before. He's touching you right this very moment. Don't give up. You are being transformed. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. I haven't arrived yet. But I strive forward to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me. because you are being transformed into his likeness, daily being transformed. Do not give up. New lifers, do not give up. Do not throw in the towel. God's got more for you and more and more and more and more and more. What have you received from God that tasted bad up to this moment? Then why wouldn't you want the next bite from God? That is who you are. You are a letter of Christ. Push the button. You have been enabled to represent the cross. The cross you represent is the unquenchable fire. Freedom is in you and flows through you. You are reflecting the Lord's glory. You are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. That is who you are. So don't be ashamed or hide who you are. Don't put a veil on your face. Don't be ashamed of your love for someone else. Don't be ashamed because you weep. Don't be ashamed because you hurt for the hurting. Don't be ashamed that you care about people. Don't be ashamed that you care about the unborn. Don't be ashamed of it. And don't hide the fact that you believe the Bible is truth. Don't hide the fact that you believe that the Bible is relevant for today. Don't hide the fact that you believe in the power of prayer. That when God says pray, pray. And when he says pray in the middle of Walmart, pray. Don't hide the fact that it's powerful. And don't hide the fact that you believe that Jesus is the way maker. The light in the darkness. The promise keeper. If we hide it, new life, if we hide it, who else is going to reveal it? The skip's on the pond this morning. I'm guaranteeing you we'll be back and we'll get out in a boat and we're going to... I always call the oar out there. I know you don't oar out anyway. You row out there, right? But my brothers say, why do you always call it oaring? I don't know. We're going to row out there. We're going to see what each one of these are maybe in the future. But today, let the skips do something in your life. This truth that's there. Stand with me today. God, I don't know all that you have, but for us, but when you have entrusted the power of the cross, the unquenchable fire. You have written us as a letter to this world, and you have given us freedom, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and you gave us the ability to reflect the Lord's glory, and you continue to work in our lives more and more and more and more and more. That's not because we're not useful. That's not because you're not doing something. That's not because you're just hanging out until the end of time. That's because you are always working. Even when we can't see it, you're working. Even when we can't feel it, you're working. Because you never stop. You never stop working. And we get to be a part of that. Father, thank you for giving us the highest clearance possible. The message of the cross. Father, I pray that we would leave here today, which I know we will. We're going to say amen and everybody's going to go. Nobody's going to stay here. But we're going to leave here. I pray that we don't leave here with veils on our faces. But we would leave here confident, not cocky, And when you move us to pray, we would pray no matter where it is. When you move us to weep, we would weep. Father, thank you so much for these moments. Father, I pray for those in the safe room. I pray that you would just anoint that room as well as you have this one. There's freedom in that room because I know the people in that room. And they have the Spirit of God. There's freedom in that room. And Father, I know that every living room that's watching, I know many of the people that are on there. And there's freedom in that room too. Father, help us to recommit to you and continue to walk out what you have for us. Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great day.